policy and government now at both, you know, state and federal for quite some time. President now of the Alabama Policy Institute. If you're not familiar, you can find them at alabamapolicy.org. I was proud to spend some time on staff there myself, and she's doing a great job. Stephanie Smith, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry I missed the off-air conversation about discretionary funds because I have a pet peeve about that. I know that surprises you, John. But here's my pet peeve. The people who take pictures of themselves, meaning the legislators, with the big checks like they're from, you know, Publishers Clearinghouse, I think there should be a requirement.
Were we hot miking during the break? Were we hot miking? That's what we were talking about.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
The big checks, I feel like there should be some sort of, and you know, I'm not top down. I'm very bottoms up and, you know, freedom oriented. But let's float a piece of legislation where you have to take at least five taxpayers with you with the big check. Because that is who is actually paying the money, not the legislators.
Listen, there are members of my delegation, and I won't name names, but there were members of my delegation who were notorious for using the big fake check and trying to be the big stuff, you know. And I used to go, and I would stand there and I'd watch it, and then I would always announce to their chagrin. I would say, I want to thank all of y'all for being here today, and I want to remind you guys that we had nothing to do with this money. These are your tax dollars coming home to you, and we're just proud of it. And the other legislators would just go, curses, he did it again. But anyway, well, you didn't call in for that. Let's talk about some other stuff. So the legislative session is going to be kicking off before we know it. I mean, it's next month, right?
It is. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's a couple of weeks away.
So earlier in the show, I'm not sure if you got to hear it, but I had a bit of a rant about two things.
Three
things, if you want to throw in the fact that I'm trying to question why a Republican supermajority would do some of what it does. But the two things that I harped on were, we're really seeing Speaker Ledbetter right now, Speaker of the House Ledbetter, sort of intoning that Medicaid expansion is under consideration. And then secondly, they're looking at bringing this, you know, giant omnibus gambling bill that is just a complete distortion of what Republicans stand for. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah. Well, and I'll start there in that there are also rumors that are flying that those two things are related.
I agree.
That is one of those things that you're like, okay, it's one thing to be obnoxious and stand up with a big check and balloons and act like you're working for Publishers Clearinghouse. It's another thing to actually horse trade taxpayer dollars for something that you want or possibly even something that you're benefiting from. And we're in real corruption zone at that point. But as far as the Medicaid expansion talk, it's one of those times when you're like, okay, words matter, right? And so the way you define things matter, words matter, and describing a Medicaid expansion as a public-private partnership is a fallacy from the beginning because the federal government will not send money to a private, any sort of private corporation for the purposes of Medicaid. So that's a falsehood from the beginning that it's being described that way. Now, I will say, I think that they're trying to model what they're talking about after the Arkansas Medicaid expansion. And the Arkansas Medicaid expansion actually occurred in 2013. So over 10 years ago, Arkansas threw in the towel.
Yeah.
And said, we're going to expand Medicaid. We're going to be part of the federal program. We're going to let the feds tell us what to do. And they've changed it several times since then. Of course, they rename it something else that sounds good every time. You know, Arkansas, it was Arkansas Works, and then it was Healthcare Independence Program, and then back to Arkansas Works, and then now it's Our Home or something like that. But basically, the concept is the same, which is throwing in the towel as a state and becoming part of the federal Medicaid apparatus.
Yep.
What's different about what they're talking about, supposedly, which I've not seen anything in writing, but what's different about what they're talking about here in Alabama is what they're now doing in Arkansas, which is creating a middleman. And so what happens is that the governor of the state, which it was Asa Hutchinson at the time in Arkansas, it was not Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the time when they expanded Medicaid, But the governor has broad authority to expand Medicaid, frankly, and the Medicaid commissioner does by virtue of her position.
Yeah,
they can basically just say they're doing it. The question becomes, will the legislature fund it? And so they have pretty broad discretion about how to apply for the waiver. There's lots of jargon here, but the gist of it is this. If Governor Ivey and her Medicaid commissioner decide that they want to expand Medicaid in this way, what will happen is that they'll make an agreement with the feds, and then they'll create a secondary agreement with, I'm hearing, Blue Cross Blue Shield, because they're kind of the monopoly medical organization,
right,
you know, in the state, to be the middleman. So what would happen is that people on the Medicaid rolls would actually shift to be Blue Cross customers. So now you see why Blue Cross is for it, because federal money being funneled to Blue Cross instead of it being, quote, Medicaid expansion. But it would really be Medicaid expansion. We would just be calling it something pretty. So it's lipstick on a pig.
Yep.
It's the exact same problems that we have with actual Medicaid expansion or full-fledged Medicaid expansion, but it's shaded a little differently and, to make it sound better to constituents.
And let me make it sound worse to constituents for a second. What you said several things, and I want to rephrase them just slightly. It is acquiescence to Obamacare, because that's where the Medicaid expansion push came from. So it's, first of all, it's a state, you said throwing in the towel, perfect description. It's a state throwing in the towel to acquiesce to the demands of Obamacare. And then on top of that, it's a ticket that actually gets more expensive a few years later, because the state has to pick up a bigger tab after getting totally addicted to the idea of the feds helping them expand the capabilities of Medicaid. Next thing you know, the federal match reduces and we pick up a bigger ticket to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's right. And by signing on to the federal program, it restricts what we can do as a state. It restricts work requirements for the, you know, for Medicaid benefits. That's something that Arkansas has gone back and forth in the courts about, which is they tried to assign work requirements for certain childless adults and you know, people who, able-bodied adults who were not working. They tried to make basically the old, you know, Newt Gingrich style work requirements, or at least be seeking a job requirement, and the federal court struck that down. Now, Sarah Sanders has tried that again, and it's working its way through the system to have a work requirement waiver so that they can actually get people off the rolls and into the workforce. But that's in process right now. That remains to be seen. And here's the other thing, and you hit on it, but this is interesting, this comparison to Arkansas, because Alabama is trying to compare itself to Arkansas, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. Arkansas is paying $200 million a year as a state for this program that's current. So not only would we pay $200 million or, you know, whatever the number would be for Alabama in comparison to Arkansas, then that when that balloon payment comes due from the federal government, it will explode.
Oh, yeah. It will explode. And then at the same time, and I'm glad of it, Alabama's required to have a balanced budget, which means we can't go into deficit spending, which means they will either, A, borrow from the trust fund, or, B, they'll have to cut programs elsewhere to maintain the size of Medicaid, which is an awful set of parameters to work within. Hey, listen, I hate to do it. We're up against a break right now, and we didn't even touch on gambling. Are you able to stay on through the break and then come back and do a short segment on gambling?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Happy to.
Well, let's do it. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Listen, you can go to their website, alabamapolicy.org. If you want to get in the weeds on some stuff and find out the deep details of things you wish you'd never known, but they are there, Alabama Policy Institute's got them for you in writing on their website. Check them out, alabamapolicy.org. We will be right back on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right now back to the phones with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Hey, Stephanie, we're going to talk about gambling here, the majority of what I want to talk about with you for the last few minutes. But I got to ask you, first of all, do you know anything about Bloomberg pledging $26 million for a healthcare sciences high school in Demopolis, Alabama? Have you heard that story?
I have heard that story. That was one of the things that Governor Ivey put in her potential budget last legislative session, that the pause button was pressed because of this year kind of strangeness and dollar figure assigned to that idea by the powers that be on the budgetary side of the legislature. And I think that there was a task force that was assigned to kind of study whether or not that was a viable project. And in the meantime, that crew has gotten some New York City money.
Yeah.
New York City Pace. What is it? The Pace. We'll show you how old we are.
It's Bloomberg.
The salsa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. The salsa. Yeah.
Anyway, so the Bloomberg money is now, going to be the reason why it should be in Demopolis, and it should be fully funded by the legislature because they have this money, and of course, this money can't be accessed unless the legislature, fronts the money.
Bloomberg is not known for conservative policy, and I just cannot help but wonder if we are looking at something that comes with a lot of stringers.
It's like when Bill Gates decided he wanted to be involved in education and was going state to state and shopping around some funds, and you're like, I'm not sure what we're agreeing to here, but it's probably nothing good.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, speaking of nothing good, let's talk about the potential for gambling. And let me ask you, what insights do you have on whether or not these omnibus gambling bills have the ability to even pass both the House and or the Senate? What are your thoughts on that, first of all?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure being put on House members right now to act on gambling. The Senate passed last quadrennium, not the current Senate that is there now, passed one of these bills that Greg Allbritton was carrying at the time. And it was a different set of folks there. The Senate did pass it, and then the House sat on it. And then now the last couple of years things have kind of just rocked along, and now the House is getting a lot of pressure to act first, and then send some sort of bill for the Senate to consider. But what's not being discussed very much, or often enough, in my opinion, is the fact that, the roster has changed in the Senate. And when the roster changes, the votes change. That's representative government. And so I don't think that there's anything, and I haven't seen a draft, not unlike the House members and senators, who I understand have also not seen a draft. So apparently it's been leaked to some members of the media, which should tick people off, frankly. If I were a representative and I was being pressured to vote for a bill that some people in the media had seen that I had not seen, that would not be, that would not be endearing to me. That I knew less about it than the Alabama political reporter did. That would not make me happy as a representative, but that maybe that's why I'm not a representative. So the bill supposedly makes some changes, increases enforceability, and has what they're calling a bidding process, which you and I know would have to be some sort of rigged bidding process in order for the current illegal operators to actually let that bill pass.
But we're watching that play out so poorly right now with the marijuana commission. I mean, the idea of bidding or competing for limited licensure, and not that I even want this stuff, but they went totally anti-free market on the manner in which they intend to apply this.
Yeah, no question. And it seems like a negative double whammy, the governance piece of this, or a triple whammy, really, because they're creating what they're calling a gaming commission. So you're increasing bureaucracy.
Yep.
You're putting unelected officials in charge of major decisions in the state. And and it's a corruptible process, and we've seen that play out in this marijuana situation. And then here's the other piece that I think that maybe, I'm giving benefit of the doubt, maybe they were well-intended about, which is they're trying to say, okay, if the constitutional amendment passes, the statewide constitutional amendment passes, then the counties that were chosen to have these would have the ability to opt in or hold their own vote. And it's counties, but then it's city of Birmingham. And so if you live in or around the city of Birmingham, I would be willing to bet that the city council in the city of Birmingham would approve gambling in about 5 seconds flat.
Oh, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, this is your business. So there are a lot of constituencies that are getting stirred up into this by the way that they're trying to fix it. I think they've just made a little bit more of a mess of it.
They've added layers of pain into something that was already going to be painful no matter what they did. And it is to the point of watching the legislature go into self-flagellation mode, trying to create something out of nothing. It's just ridiculous.
Well, just the idea that legalizing something is going to curtail it.
Yeah,
is not logical.
Nope.
I can't even get past that first argument.
That argument right there falls short when you consider you could say that about drugs, prostitution, human trafficking. It's out there. It's illegal. We should regulate it so we can tax it. Well, Stephanie Smith, as always, I appreciate your insights. You bring a lot to the table on these discussions. If you want folks to find out more about what you got going on, tell them where they can find you.
You can find us at alabamapolicy.org.
All right. And you yourself are on Twitter as well as Alabama Policy, am I correct, and other social media?
Yes, absolutely. We're on all the social media outlets, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days. But we have our guides to the issues and our blueprint for Alabama out on our website, so you can read about all these issues to your heart's content.
All right. Thanks, Steph. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Stay tuned. We're going to switch gears and get off of policy and start talking sports for a minute because it impacts right here in Alabama. I'm curious to hear what Hannah Stevens, the UA sign girl, has to say about the portal at Alabama. Oh, my. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.